Each of the members of the Joint Chiefs went to great lengths to praise the service of the Army and Air National Guard, particularly over the last 10 years of war, but they were unanimous in arguing that giving the Chief of the National Guard Bureau membership among the body of top military leaders is a bad idea. General Martin Dempsey, the Joint Chiefs chairman, says rather than giving the National Guard greater stature, it could augur against the work that's been done to make the Guard a full partner in the total force.
Our success as a joint force is due in large measure to our ability to integrate the active and reserve components so that they are indistinguishable on the battlefield. I believe we've accomplished this because the service chiefs of the Army and Air Force are the single voice for their respective services. With the service secretaries, they bear sole responsibility for making the key resource decisions that produce an organized, trained, and equipped force. And this includes the National Guard and Reserve components. The proposed change could undermine this unity of effort.
Dempsey and the other members of the Joint Chiefs argue that the National Guard is already represented at the table. The Air National Guard by the Air Force Chief of Staff and the Army National Guard by the Army Chief of Staff. Dempsey also claims the addition of the National Guard Chief would undermine the principle of civilian control of the military.
Each of the Joint Chiefs is subject to the civilian oversight of a single appointed and confirmed secretary. The Chief of the National Guard Bureau has no such oversight. Elevation to the JCS would make him equal to the service chiefs without commensurate accountability. This seems to me to run counter to the carefully crafted organizational and advisory principles established by Goldwater Nichols.
The chiefs also argue the role of the National Guard Bureau is fundamentally different. They say unlike the chiefs of the military services, he doesn't have the same responsibility to man, train, and equip a force. And Admiral James Winnefeld, the vice chairman, says the proposal would bifurcate what he says is viewed today as one Army and one Air Force.
The chief of the National Guard Bureau, despite being my great friend and for whom I have great respect, does not have the same level of responsibility or command authority. And we should not send the signal that we have two different United States armies or United States Air Forces. Second, while this legislation may send a very positive message to the terrific men and women of the Guard, I'm concerned that it will send a negative message to the remaining 46% of our nation's reserve component, that they are somehow of lesser importance, and that future decisions could be taken at their expense. And I hear that from some members of the Title 10 reserve components whom I've asked.
The chiefs say the National Guard leader already has a seat at the deliberations of the Joint Chiefs, though it's informal and it's at the invitation of the chairman. General Craig McKinley, the current chief of the National Guard Bureau, says that's not good enough. He says the policy is only in effect until the chairman decides to change it.
I'm concerned that continue, and I believe it needs to be institutionalized to ensure that that service continues.
Under current law, the National Guard Bureau Chief has the responsibility to advise the Secretary of Defense and the Army and Air Force Chiefs about National Guard matters, but McKinley says the Guard needs a direct and statutory pipeline to the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs and to the National Security Council, something it would only get as a full member of the Joint Chiefs.
I'm concerned that continue, and I believe it needs to be institutionalized to ensure that that service continues.
Though McKinley was the only panelist to testify in favor of the National Guard proposal, he found an ally at the hearing in South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, an Air Force reservist.
If you believe that the nation is threatened by natural disasters and the frontline uniformed force is the National Guard, I would like to have you sitting there, not by invitation, by the way. General Dempsey, you're a very fine man, but if you got pissed off at him, could you tell him to get out of the room?
Yes, I could.
Okay, good. Well, at the end of the day, I think you need to be in the room with some weight behind you, not just the invitation.
To Graham, the uniform resistance from the existing chiefs has echoes of the past. He points out the chiefs were vehemently against the Goldwater-Nichols reorganization of the military in 1986 and against adding the Marine Corps to the panel in the 1970s.
Do you agree that the Marine Corps, being a voting member of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, hasn't given the Navy two votes? Do you agree with that, General Amos?
It has not given the Navy.
Well, that was the big concern, and that was a real fight back in 1978, that if you put the combatant on, all hell's going to break loose, the Navy's going to run the world. Well, that didn't work. And I don't think the National Guard being in the room is going to change the world as we know it, only for the better.
But Virginia Democrat Jim Webb, who served as the Assistant Secretary in charge of Reserve Affairs during the Reagan administration, sided with the Chiefs. He agrees the Guard is already represented.
I think that anyone who's saying that the citizen soldiers are not at the table right now is being unnecessarily divisive, and I think unfair to the stewardship and leadership of the Army and the Air Force. Citizen soldiers are at the table. I don't believe that the Joint Chiefs of Staff have been failing to represent the interests of the Army Guard in the Army or the Air Guard in the Air Force.
Although Senate Armed Services Committee members appeared split on the proposal, the idea does appear for now to have enough support in the overall Senate to pass. Vote counters have 66 senators willing to back the effort. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.